Just before we continue where we left off yesterday, I meant earlier in the week to share for a moment a shadow that came up this past Friday, which was relevant to something that we spoke about in one of the previous sugyas. So it was a fascinating application. And remember the end of the sugyas of Seda. So we spoke about the sugya of Shnayim Shesa'ua. If you have two people who do a malacha together, so the Mishnah says that's potter. So if two guys trap the animal together, that's potter. Two people carry the item together, that's potter. Two people turn the light switch together, that's potter. So we had a shaila about, at the time we spoke about whether when we say that it's potter, do we mean that it's potter of alasa b'drabanan? It's clearly not going to be mutlach. Do we say it's potter of alasa b'drabanan? Or do we say that it's potter of alasa b'daraisa? So we quoted the opinion of the Chavis Das, the Baal HaNesivas, who said that potter in that context just means potter mechatas, but it's still considered to be like a mamash, like an isa d'raisa. And we said that the Rambam doesn't sound the way. The Chayodim and others say, no, it's not even a d'raisa altogether. We spoke about should it be the same as Chatzishir, not the same as Chatzishir, Chatzimalach, all the different lomdas, but we left it kind of hanging that it seems like many of the Pelsim say that it would only be a Nisa Derabbanan, and others who argue that maybe it would be a Chashash V'deraisa. So Shadda came up on this past Friday that there was, I got a call late in the day on Friday, there were a couple of Bacharim who were coming back from Boston, and they got stuck, the boss, a nice old story, that it was getting close to Shabbos, and the way it ended up is that for hours they were delayed, and they couldn't get off the bus. And the bus was supposed to pull into Port Authority about 8:30 at night. So 8:30 is was about Shkia time. So the Shaila was there, so we tried to arrange for them to get to the closest possible place. It was a hotel 2 blocks away, and the food, that in itself was a whole story to try to get them set up properly. But the Shaila was, what about all their stuff? So they had a lot of stuff. They had tefillin with them, other things with them. So the shaila is, how can they carry? So I asked them to try to find the locker or something in Port Authority and leave it. They told me probably after 9/11 there are no more lockers in Port Authority. I know they said there's no place safe to leave the stuff. So the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Shabbos that if a person is bob baderech, if he's coming on the road on Friday afternoon and he gets stuck on the way, so even though normally obviously not allowed to carry when there's no Eruv, but Chazal gave a special leniency that they let you carry in certain ways that are only prohibited mid the Rabbanon. Since it's Mokam Hefzer Grodel, you're going to lose all your money, you lose your tefillin, you lose whatever expensive things you have with you. And Chazal were concerned that if we don't give you a psakul, don't give you something, so the guy's just going to carry normally. So they lifted, certainly served the Rabbanon in a case of Mishabab Adarach and Chashaych Allah Adarach and Arab Shabbos. So the example that the Gemara actually gives is to carry pachas b'dalat amas, to carry stops and starts and stops and starts. So the only problem is, the two problems. First of all, that'll only help if you're already in the Rishus HaRabim. That won't help you to go from Rishus HaYachat to Rishus HaRabim. So if you're going from inside the terminal to outside of the street, so that's not gonna help you. And number two is that it's not very safe when you try to cross Broadway or something at 42nd Street. pachas b'dalat amas, I don't want to take responsibility for that one. So the poskim say that if you can't do that, you can do other derabbanan also. So the poskim recommend to do a derech shinoi. So you stick the bag on your head, you stick the bag on your arm, it's kunz or something, to do a keli achayat. You may remember that Shabbos Shuv a few years ago when we had a whole bunch of guys from our shul. A similar thing had happened, and they were all stuck on a bus by the Lincoln Tunnel or something. They all came rolling in an hour after Shabbos started. So we the bus drops off by Tinek Road by the armory, which was nice, was out of the air, maybe in the air, out of the air, whatever. The mice, at that point, it's for sure out of the air. So the Shabbos had to get the stuff, all that stuff home. So we had a guy go and meet them at the armory to throw stuff all to the car because of the Yaakov and the Rabbanon. So we permit Misha Baba Derech, so the special Kula Chazal said to buy Lady Serum the Rabbanon. The Shah there also was how to get the stuff off the bus into the guys, off the bus into the street. So at the time we wanted the guy to go onto the bus to take all the stuff off, but the bus driver wouldn't let it for security reasons. Not allowed to let somebody just come onto the bus and not get on the bus, really. I don't know, explain to us why. So we had it. So all the guys had to take the stuff off the bus. So you had guys walking off the bus with computers under their arms, with knapsacks on their heads, and all kind of kunsim. So I told these same fellas, I said to them, when they carry their bags and their stuff and everything, apparently they had been in Boston for a couple of days, so they had a lot of stuff. So when they carry their stuff, those 2 blocks from the Port Authority to the hotel, they should try to carry Keli Achayad. So I wasn't trying to get them a message about how to call Keli Achayad, how to do Achayad, I wasn't so passionate. So I said, listen, if you can't figure out a way to do it, Keli Achayad is too heavy, so then do it Shnayim Shesu'ah. So then have two people carry the bag together. So each one had their own bag, but rather than me carry my bag, you carry your bag, we'll both carry both bags together. So I said that Shnayim Shesa'ua, according to the Pashas and the Rambam, and the Chayolim says it's only a Derabbanan anyway. So if it's only a Derabbanan, so then it'll meet these criteria, and they lifted it to the Derabbanan. According to the Chavazdas, it's not going to work. According to the Chavazdas, so then it's a Mamash Malacha Deraisa, it's just a Zabtor from Chatas. So this is Deraisa, it can't be Matar, even for the biggest Mokham Hefsin Maman. So I said that according to, it seems like most of the later posts, Shabbos Paskins like the Chayodim, like the Ramam, against the Makor Chaim, against the Baal HaRasivas. So I said, Mishas and Chakik rely on that. Also, but see with the fact that we're not so sure that there are ice here anyway, even though it's in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, but there are air of it in certain parts of Manhattan. This part of Manhattan has no air whatsoever. So it could be that they're assuming that's not really their ice, which is Ram the ice anyway, for technical reasons. So there are certain so it's just an interesting that this shayla that we spoke about last week, the Shnayim Shesa'ua, where they said the rice and the Rabbanan, actually played out the Lamaisa.
The terminal itself is a Shesa'ia?
Yeah, I mean the rice for sure, because it's all enclosed with walls.
Why isn't the terminal like the hallway in an apartment building? Because it's...
No, but midaraisa for sure, it's Rishus HaYochid, because the hallway in the parable is also Rishus HaYochid deraisa. It's just that hallway requires an Erev Chatzeres midrabanan, because you have private dwellings that are opening up into a public area. But a terminal, in a certain sense, is better than that, because there's nobody living there. It's not a Makom Dira altogether. So whenever you have a place
private
that...
stores don't matter, because they don't live there.
No, right, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know, and even if so, it would only be true if you have two from Shomer Shabbos people who are opening into that area, and they're not going to be there on Shabbos anyway. It's not really, I don't think it would be a problem. It may be a little bit of a different issue, what's called the Mokum Shalahukah Fladira. If you have a very large place that wasn't designated for the purposes of living altogether, so let's say like a tremendous garden or somewhere in the middle of nowhere, but it's all like a big orchard that's all fenced in. That would be a problem that I wanted to carry there. But this may not be that for a few reasons. First of all, there are people who have a little bit of a steamer in the other stores. They must have a little bit. And also, it's according to some poskim, it's whenever you have a ceiling, so that the whole chumra midraban of called the karfif doesn't apply. Whatever. I'm not saying the lechatchila be carrying it for authority, but it's probably much less of a problem than anywhere else.
These derabbanans have any, and same with Amir Hakam has less of a status after Shkia before it says.
Yeah. Joy Ben Ashmashas would be right. Joy Ben Ashmashas would be Amir Yachm would be Mutlach Achila, right?
So that would be a much better solution.
Amir Yachm would always be, is always right, for sure. Right. I even said to them that originally I thought they would get in close at 8 o'clock. So I said that they could really happen. The original plan was to come back to Tinek. That wasn't going to happen. But the original plan after that was that we could send someone on the Upper West Side. So I told them if they get in and after 8, so they can still hop into a cab. And even b'shas el chach, maybe if the cab continues, you know, past Shkia, because I'm really Yaakov anyway, it was hard to tell them to take the bags out and carry 20 blocks in Manhattan. It wasn't so simple. So I thought that it would be a little bit more making on that. But in the end, by the time they saw the way the bus was coming in, they said they weren't going to get in until 8:30. Coming at 8:30, I said, I don't think you should stop. It's far to go in a cab. I told them, just find the closest. So they found a hotel across the street. They had to get the stuff from the terminals across the street. Anyway, getting back to our story from yesterday. So that was real shit. So yesterday we were talking about the Memarech and the Machegs, and we mentioned the Machegs, Rav Moshe, and the Rav, about whether toothpaste is a problem of Memarech altogether. So Rav Moshe asked the toothpaste because of Memachek / Memarech, because it's considered to be smearing on in place, and that's a problem. And the Rav thought that wasn't the problem. He thought it wasn't the problem because you're not being Memachek your teeth, you're not being Memarech the toothpaste. The teeth are not being smoothed out because, or to any significant amount. And the toothpaste, the Rav thought, was considered to be a Davash Inashal Kayama. It's just going to be spit out right away. So what do you think there was any significance to that? So that idea that the Rav was, we have about Peh from the Rav, that he was mounted the toothpaste, based on the fact that it's Enosh HaKayama, so that appears in print in Rabbi Avad Yosef's tshuva as well, the tshuva that we spoke about yesterday. We spoke about some of the tshuvas he has about the soap, so I think he has a different tshuva about the toothpaste. Rabbi Avad Yosef pretty much is making for the same svaras, that Rabbi Avad Yosef writes that he thinks that the toothpaste is also Enosh HaKayama, the whole nature, the Malach HaMarech, is when you leave a surface and you create something that's of some degree of permanence, toothpaste is going to be spit out right away. And then Rav Avadya addressed the fact that apparently the dentists, the dentists tell us that apparently some of the toothpaste really does stay on the teeth. I don't know. I'm not sure. Is that true? I don't know. So the toothpaste stays on a little film stays on to protect the teeth or something. So Rav Avadya writes it is true, but two kashas against that. He says first of all he doesn't believe it, and he says nimtum tlomu, that's right. He says you can't see it, and it's b'senasha kayam. The whole thing is he doesn't think we have to be b'seches to it. So again, there were gedolei poskim who asked him brushing your teeth because of memareach, was Ramesh's approach, and there were others that Rav Avadya who were mekel because they felt that memareach, the whole notion of memareach, doesn't really apply here. This whole discussion of brushing teeth is only addressing the toothpaste issue. There are a half dozen other potential issues in terms of brushing teeth. We've spoken about some of them over the years. We'll just recap them quickly because it's all part of the brushing teeth. So yeah, there were some poskim who were concerned with brushing teeth. And going back to what we spoke about the last halacha of Chovel, the issue of Chovel, if a person was brushing his teeth and they caused their gums to bleed, so that would be a problem of Chovel. And that wouldn't be a Chovel d'oraisa for multiple reasons. First of all, even if it's a psikresha, even if it's something that always happens, it's a psikresha de lo nichalei. People don't want to bleed when they're brushing their teeth. One could argue that it's a derech kilkul also. It's not anything really positive happening from the bleeding of your gums. So even in a niach that it bleeds, it's worse going to be a derabbanan. But the question is it even a problem altogether? But the answer is it depends on what you think about psikreshas in general. This goes back to what we spoke about so many times, that at first glance we would think it's a davar shein b'skaven. I brush my teeth. It may bleed, it may not bleed, so it depends on the person. So for the person who may or may not bleed, then it's not going to be mutter. And you can't answer it based on chovel. It's a quote-unquote 50-50 chance of making it bleed. Then davar shein b'skaven, we follow Rabbi Shimon, would permit it. But if it's a psikreshe, if we know for a fact it's going to bleed, or many people can say more than 50% chance, most of the time that a person brushes the teeth, so he knows it's going to bleed. The person doesn't have such strong gums, so he knows from all week long that his teeth bleed when he brushes. So if you have a person who's a psikreshe for them to bleed, then you go back to the old story of psikreshe lo nichalei. He doesn't want it to bleed, but it's going to bleed. So psikreshe lo nichalei, we have a machleki. So we showed him. So according to the view of the Aruch, psikreshe lo nichalei is mutal chetchila. According to everybody else, Taisus and the other most of the Rishonim, psikreshe lo nichalei is in fact still prohibited mid the Rabbanan. So I would say like this, in terms of leaving out the toothpaste for a minute, just in terms of the bleeding, it depends on a case-by-case basis. If a person brushes all week long, test a few times during the week and see if you don't bleed, so for you it's okay. And even if once in a while it'll bleed, forget about it. But if you have a person who most of the time really does bleed, then I would say it may be better for them to refrain from brushing on Shabbos because of that issue of chovel. Then there are other issues, other tangential issues that come up in terms of brushing teeth. We spoke about this way, way back in the schita sugyas, in terms of the toothbrush. That is there a problem of schita on the bristles of the toothbrush? So this was also a question. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that there's a problem of schita on seir, on hair. Gemara says that even though squeezing out here is not a deraisa, but squeezing out here would be an issa midrabanan. The question is, are the bristles of the toothbrush the same as the hair to be prohibited midrabanan or not? The guy's brushing his teeth, so he's pushing on the water, though it's squeezing out some of the water. So some poskim equated the two. It says all toothbrushes should be asa midrabanan. And others said, no, the toothbrushes are better than hair because the bristles are so don't collect anything. There's nothing that goes in. Nothing gets absorbed. Kihuzeh doesn't even appear to be absorbed. So maybe the whole thing doesn't apply. If you remember back in some of the sugyas when we spoke about kibbutz, so we mentioned that there's a Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos that speaks about using a sponge. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to use a sponge on Shabbos, but if it has a base achiz, if it has a handle to it, so then you're allowed to use the sponge. Why is having a handle any better? So the Rambam says, because if it has a handle, then you'll hold it in such a way that it won't necessarily squeeze, so it won't be a psikresha. And the Rabbit says, no, once you have a handle, it's mutter anyway. Even if you know it's going to squeeze out, it's still going to be mutter. What's going to be mutter? So the Rabbi gives a marshal. He says, once it has a handle, then we don't view it really as squeezing anymore. We view it as a cup of water. It's like a bottle of water. It's like a kli. So when you're allowed to pour water out of a bottle, you don't say, oh, I'm being sochet, I'm squeezing out the water. We view the water as being in the kli, not absorbed into the fabric of the garment. So says the Ravid, if you take a sponge and you squeeze it out, so that's called tzchit. I'm squeezing a liquid out of something that's absorbed in. If I have a sponge with a handle, so then somehow the halacha views that as being a bottle, that's a cup, and that's more pouring out rather than squeezing out. According to that Ravid, maybe we could be another tzad l'halacha by the toothbrush. If you would be holding the bristles in your hand without a handle, so that would be a problem. But most people don't brush their teeth away, so you're holding the handle of the toothbrush itself. So mistama, according to the Ravid, that would be mutter. So that's a shayla, whether we follow that Ravid. But it would be another tzad l'hokel. So the bottom line is that there are a few tzad l'hokel on each part of the toothbrushing issue. Machlekes Rav Moshe and the Rav about the toothpaste itself. That's our primary sugya, is that memachek or memarech. Then you have the second issue in terms of the bleedings. That for many people, that would be all right. Then you have the issue of the squeezing out of the water from the bristles. So that there are tzadim to say that would be mutter as well. And there's a fourth shayla about washing the toothbrush off after you finish. So like I brush his teeth late in the afternoon on Shabbos, now he wants to run it under the water. So some poskim wanted to ask for that because of hachana, because you're really washing off the toothbrush to prepare for Motzei Shabbos, to prepare for the next time you're going to use it. So others disagreed with that. Others said that something as simple as rinsing off a toothbrush when you're done, which most people don't think about even, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, any action that you do, which is not even samalev, you don't even pay attention to it, you just natural, you finish brushing your teeth, so you throw it under the water. No, nobody calls that. You don't stop a person and ask him, why are you washing off your toothbrush? You're washing off your toothbrush to save a second Motzei Shabbos. So most people don't think that way. So that's not considered to be hachana. That was one tzad, and then there's another tzad that there are some who wanted to argue that if you don't wash off the toothbrush, so then that's going to make the toothbrush get ruined. Some of the bacteria from your mouth is going to sit in the toothbrush, and somehow that's not good. So I remember years ago, Rabbi Willing was speaking about this on a Friday night in Shul, and he made this statement that some have suggested that if you don't wash off the toothbrush, so you're not washing it off b'toras achana, you're washing it off b'toras hefsid. Anytime I do something to prevent a loss, that's not called achana on Shabbos. Achana is just to merely save time for Motzei Shabbos. But if I'm doing it just to prevent losing something, prevent something from getting ruined, that's not considered to be achana. So he said that some of the dentists have told him that if you don't wash the toothbrush off right after you use it, that's going to lead to the deterioration of the toothbrush itself. So that should be mutter. It's called the mokum hefsed. It doesn't fall under the category of achana. Remember at the time, one of the dentists in Shul raised his hand and says, it's not true. He said in a respectful way, that's not true, nothing will happen. Nothing's going to happen to the toothbrush. To which point, another dentist raised his hand and said, no, it is true. So they had a machoik. I remember this Friday night, like it was, 25, 30 years ago. Machoik's a dentist in the Yogizal of Riverdale, whether or not the washing off of a toothbrush will actually prevent the loss of the toothbrush itself. So I cannot be machri, the answer between this, Shiloh. So, what we're basically saying is that when it comes to the brushing of teeth, I can make you a case to be matif all of those considerations, and I can make you a case to aser all those considerations. So if you ask me whether you're allowed to brush your teeth in Shabbos, I'll tell you it's a four-part machlekes. Machlekes about achana and about tzchita and about lemareach and about chayva. Everything you want to know is potentially problematic, and there are potential solutions to each one. So the yesh v'yesh, there are some who brush their teeth on Shabbos normally, some brush without toothpaste, some brush without toothbrushes, some don't brush at all. Again, there are different eitzes, different opinions in terms of the brushing of teeth. But one of the primary issues of the brushing of the teeth is the malach that we are talking about. That's the issue of memarech. There's another point that a common challenge of memarech that comes up. That's the issue of putting on all kind of creams and ointments, medications and stuff on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Before you even discuss the memarech part, we have to, of course, clear the air in terms of the medicine part. So we spoke about tochein quite some time ago. There's an issa midrabban, and the Mishnah speak about a great length in Shabbos, about the issa midrabban of taking medicine in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Chazal asked medicine in Shabbos and Yom Tov for a totally different reason, of gezeira mishum shchika samamonim. We're afraid that the person may come to grind up herbs to prepare the medicine. It was the common way of making medicine in the days of Chazal. So they asked all medicine across the board, even those medicines that don't require the grinding of herbs. Everything was prohibited. Liquids and ointments and pills, everything was asked across the board as a gezeira mishum toichin. Gezeira, you may come to grind up medicines. So at the time when we learned this sugya, so we mentioned the question that Rav Chaim Noor was a contemporary of the Chazon Ish. So Rav Chaim, he was about plucked to the Chazon Ish. He was the one who argued with the Chazon Ish on the size of the kezayis and the size of the yam and the tefach, everything. It was the two of them were arguing about this. So Rav Chaim Noor has a suggestion in his sefer that maybe this issa doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, since nobody grinds the medicine anymore. You get your medicine from the pharmacy. So maybe the whole gezeira doesn't apply. Maybe the gezeira was never made b'zman hazeh. So he has a 10-page discussion about batla tam, batla gezeira, when the reason doesn't apply, does the gezeira apply or not, back and forth and back and forth. At the end of the day, even he's not willing to be mekel. So we assume the gezeira does apply. Mikra, then we assume that the gezeira medicine does apply. So anytime you want to put on a cream for a medicine purpose, you have to always ask yourself, well, wait a second, isn't it asr anyway? The answer is usually it is, except if it's a makam chayla. If it's a chayla she'en b'r sakon, if the person is really sick enough, he doesn't have to be deathly ill, but he's a chayla she'en b'r sakon, so then the issa d'rabbanan was lifted. And there may be other times that the issa d'rabbanan was lifted. According to some, if it's an ongoing treatment, it's done for a long time, and the doctor's orders for X amount of time, so maybe that would be grounds to be made. So there are certain kulas in terms of the medicine angle of the shayla. Assuming we can get over those hurdles of medicine, then we have to ask ourselves, well, how does it play out in terms of the creams, in terms of memarech? So memarech lechar should still be a problem. Anytime you have any, if it's a liquid, that would be all right, but any cream should be a problem. So the Chazanish writes that you can be matir, the yis of memarech, by doing the following. It says if you take the cream, and rather than rubbing the cream on in a normal fashion, you just kind of plop the cream on. You just kind of throw the cream on. And if you put a band-aid on over it or something, it kind of gets smeared in by itself. So that would not be a problem of memarech. So the question is, why is that? Well, what exactly is that based on? So there in the Gedolei Poskim, the Mamash of literally this generation, so you have two different approaches as to what exactly the Chazon Ish meant with that statement. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa writes that he thinks what the halacha means is as follows, is that we've spoken about this many times, about doing certain isurim kiliyachay yad b'mokom chayla. You're allowed to do certain things in an abnormal fashion if there's a needs of a chol. On the Shabbos morning shurim we spent about the last year and a half, so I'm talking about this, that there are certain isurim that were lifted b'mokom chayla. One of them being, the Ramban quotes from certain Gemaras, seem to say, one of them being was kiliyachay yad. So there was machlekes, the poskim, whether when we say that isurim derabbanan were lifted kliachayad, do we mean isurim? Do we say that only isurim derabbanan are lifted kliachayad, or do we say even potentially isurim deraisa were lifted kliachayad? That's a big machlekes the poskim. But when I slice it over here, it could be, says the Shmir Shabbos, that's the heter of putting the creams on, having them rub in kliachayad. If I just plop the cream in, I don't rub it in, stick the bandit onto it, that's not the normal way of applying the bacitracin. It's not the normal way of applying certain creams. So if that's the case, says the Chazon Ish, then it would be almost, it says the Shmir Shabbos, but that's the Chazon Ish, it would be like a kiliyachayad. And since even the rubbing of the creams themselves on is only a derabbanan, because remember when we introduced the malacha earlier in the week, we said, the mareach derais is only when you have like a wax, something that's a very, very serious, almost like a solid kind of a thing. If it's a cream, even though it's not liquid enough to be mutter, but it's probably only an issa derabbanan anyway, like a thick oil that the Gemara described. So we're only dealing with derabbanan, that's kiliyachayad, so then one could argue that would be mutter. So that's how the Shmir Shabbos sized up this kula. It's based on the kula of kiliyachayad. But maybe one could suggest, no, it's not really based on the heter of a chayla of kiliyachayad. It's based on a different approach. That's the approach that's taken in the Ribiat Sefer. This is a big, big four-volume Sefer and a great Sefer of the Shabbos. So he has a suggestion that maybe the heter is based on a different form. Maybe it's based on that this is not called memarech b'chlal. That the whole tzur of the melacha memarech is the shmearing, is the rubbing, is the smoothing. So I'm not smoothing. This is not smoothing. This is plopping a cream on top of a wound and sticking a band-aid on it. That's not bechlak, not called smoothing. So even though the cream gets dispersed a little bit, that's not considered to be memarech altogether. So according to the Shmir Shabbos, it is fundamentally memarech. It's just memarech kliyachayad. According to Rabbi Ribia, maybe it's not even memarech altogether. My nafkamina. The other day it's going to be mutter anyway. Chaps and nafkamina. Chaps and nafkamina. Do we have to invoke the heter of chayla? Can we only be matter these things with makam chola, or can we extend this kula even to non makam chola? So if you hold like the Shmir Shabbos' version of the kula, that it's predicated on the assumption that the guy's a chola shem sakana, and we're going to lift certain isurim derabon and don kiliyachayad, but he has to be a chola. It's not a chola. There's nothing to talk about. But if you hold like Rabbi Ribiat's formulation, that you don't even need chola for this. It's mutter because it's mutter. Everything's mutter to prove an asa. It's mutter because it's mutter. That's not considered to be the malach altogether. Then presumably it would be okay, even shalom b'chola. It's not going to be that much of a a nafka mina. We don't have, most people are not tachum, we're not rubbing on such creams anyway. But the most common showers that we have is it gets caught with acetracin on, or the baby cream. So you want to put diaper ointment on a baby. So there also, we would be able to be makel because the baby is considered automatically like a chayla she'ein by sakana. So the baby, you want to make sure the baby doesn't get irritated. So then the pasha says, based on this chaznish, it would be mutter not to take the cream and mamish rub it in literally, but to just take like some cream and just plop it onto the baby, and then just throw the diaper on, hope for the best. So that would presumably be mutter, based on what we're saying, either according to the Shmir Shabbos' formulation or Rabbi Ribiat's formulation. I remember one time one of my kids had more of a serious diaper rash. I'm sure you've seen many in your day. And I think that this eitzah wasn't working for them, so they needed a good stark shmir and with everything. So for that, we had to take them to the non-Jewish babysitter. So we lived in the Heights at the time, so we had our non-Jewish babysitter upstairs. So usually the baby didn't go there on Shabbos, but we brought him upstairs to get a little bit extra TLC with the extra diaper cream. So that was a Mir Yaakov, a Makom Cholah, baby, especially baby with a diaper rash, for sure it's called the Cholah Ebe Sakana. So then it would be mutter even to have the guy do it literally to rub it in properly. But if a Jew is doing it, so he should try not to rub it in, just kind of plop it on and hope for the best. Okay, then we can make a siyum on the Malach of Mamachim, Mamareach. I don't think we're coming up with any final plans this moment, but I think...